Thank you for downloading this edition of First Person, a Kahiso Media podcast, presented by journalist and author Marianne Tam. For other episodes and for more information, go to firstpersonpod.com.
Ordinary people.
But I do want to look in your fridge. I do want to see what's in your fridge.
Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Oh. Extraordinary.
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 Extraordinary
lives.
Lives.
Lives. Extraordinary lives. It looks a bit
loony, but... No. Listen, I see what you're doing.
First person.
I do have a strong sort of feeling about light and darkness. And I see the truth as the light. I just can't stand it. The lies.
This time, Thomas Millet.
Nearly a year ago, I wrote a piece about two brothers, Thomas and Calvin Millet, and their, what you might call it, obsession with who killed Inga Lotz, a 22-year-old Stellenbosch University master's student who was brutally murdered, and I mean brutally, I've seen the photographs, in her apartment on the 16th of March 2005. Her boyfriend, Fred van der Faver, was tried for the murder and acquitted, and since then, no one's been arrested for the killing.
You will find bloody towels.
Yeah, I've got a lot of them.
Okay. I'm always out of towels because I think nothing. I need to just go and take one in the bathroom.
And use it. Yeah. Okay.
So I've got towels and whatever.
When I met him for the first time, Thomas Millet, who is a compact man with an urgent demeanour, he was giving a talk at UCT based on his book, Bloody Lies, Citizens Reopen the Inga Lotz Murder Case, which, among other things, suggests that there is compelling evidence implicating an ornamental hammer, later found in van der Faver's car, as the murder weapon, evidence which includes the imprint of the hammer on a towel found at the scene. This is something that Thomas discovered while working tirelessly in his small townhouse located behind the Drukkerij in Piketberg, just outside Cape Town. His home is like a bargain basement forensic lab. A hairdresser's model head is in a cardboard box on the coffee table, and his porch outside is cluttered with an old toilet and bits of cardboard he's used to recreate a crime scene, which is where I've now come to meet him for the second time.
Fred, and I believe Fred killed her. So let's put that out there, and I say that based on evidence. I don't have any other issue with Fred, but Fred wasn't careful at all. Whoever the murderer wasn't careful. If you look at that towel, it's full of marks. I believe it's the hammer because I can show it and it fits and all of that. But whatever it was, if it was a careful murderer, you know, he would have either chucked the towel away or just would have been careful. I think he actually wanted people to know.
Just to give you an example of the stuff that this cards that Inga wrote to her mother.
Have you still got them?
This is it. Yeah, this is... The mother gave that to me.
What I've learned, go through the photos that you didn't think you need to go through previously. I had this one yellow file there, and I never really went into it, because it's photos of the towel and stuff, and I didn't think there would be anything, and I went through it, and I went through it. When I saw that mark, I saw Emma. And it's that peculiar shape. Any debate now is just go, there it is, you know, you can in front of your eyes, you can do it yourself. It's not a one isolated occurrence or one isolated match. There are various marks on the towel fitting that hammer. Now, it still doesn't say it's that specific hammer, but if it's another hammer, it's a hammer exactly like that one. Then you have to ask yourself about scale of probability and coincidence. It's already a scarce hammer. So whether it's that hammer or not, it fits that hammer. Mm. And it's not my opinion. It is what the data says. And that is a very nice place to be, because then you don't have to defend yourself about being an expert or not.
Look at this. This one that the mother wrote, it's in Afrikaans. But.
Ja, man, ja, kan me praat, kan verstaan. Ja, pas die swembad skoongemaak, backwash enzovoorts.
Just cleaned the pool, backwashed it. Now my fingers are numb. I'm having deep thoughts. I'm so alone out here. You're an exceptional person, and the reason people like you so much is because of your brand name, Inga Lotz.
Is your brand name, Inga Lotz.
So this is fingerprint power.
powder.
Oh, that's in this jar. You keep it on top of the fridge.
Yeah, for this flood in here afterwards, but
okay. So you have to kind of procure the stuff yourself. Where does one buy fingerprint powder if you like not in the cops?
I can get it from a contact in the police.
Okay. I mean, before Inga, you'd been interested in forensics, or...?
Yeah, I've always been interested in a lot of things. I wasn't particularly interested in forensics. I'm a curious mind,
yeah.
And most of what I've did over the last, say, 10 years was working with other people's detail as a text editor, getting a rough manuscript, trying to make sense of it. So people listen, yeah, it doesn't work. For example, what led me to this investigation was basically a text or content error in Altbecker's book.
Thomas is talking here about Anthony Altbecker's book, Fruit of a Poisoned Tree, about the Lutz murder and Fred's trial. It would take too long to explain here what the alleged error was that Thomas picked up as he read the book during a Christmas holiday. You'd also need to read Thomas's books, but suffice to say, he says they were errors.
I couldn't put my finger on it immediately. And I think that is where my experience as a text editor helped me a lot, because he said that the police added that that little appendage. So there were a lot of things like that bothered me. So I went onto the internet and I read Pat Wertheim's report.
He was the fingerprint expert who helped get Fred off.
Again, I never worked the fingerprints. But the basic issues are, for example, if I show you a stick, and I ask you, is the stick shorter? You can't tell without knowing how long the stick was initially. And Pat Wertheim would just say the print is shorter, foreshortened and all of that. And I looked at that print and I just couldn't see a glass. And it's nothing to do with fingerprinting, it's about geometry.
Thomas works with his brother Calvin, who's in Canada. They haven't seen each other for over 10 years, but he says the work's brought them closer together and that their skills complement each other.
I don't have the scientific qualifications that he has. I've got a BC degree, so I've got the basics of science. I understand. I would, for example, look at a line unfolding one, and I would see that needs to be circular. I don't know why, but I know it needs to be circular if it's a rim of a glass. Mm-hmm. Then I would send it to Calvin, and he will do the deeper analysis.
So the two of you work really well together.
Yeah.
And then
he would,
did you draw him into the Inga thing?
I think Calvin articulated it nicely once. You know, you reach a point where you can't do nothing. You know, you know you're onto something. You have to do something with it. And I think we sort of quickly got to that point, actually quite quickly. But I tell people, I don't really see ourselves as even more clever than anybody else. It's just that we go sit down and we apply honest application of science and apply a bit of logic. It's really not rocket science.
I have all my stuff either here on this table, which is quite nice, it's quite low. I put my pig's head here as well.
Yes, the pig's head. In court, evidence was led that the police had tested the actual murder weapon on a pig's head, damaging the evidence to a certain extent. The defense argued that the hammer couldn't have been the murder weapon, as it didn't match the extensive wounds on Inga's head. However,
I hit something here. There's nothing giving way. If I put it on... Yeah, I mean, you understand, there's something dissipating the force. In fact, Inga's head was in the air most of the time, and two cushions below her. And her head would have pivoted around and, you know, under the blow. So you just can't compare it. If you look at the police, they came in with a massive, massive blow. And after I did my test, I wasn't surprised that it was... I thought actually the hammer should have been damaged more. Because that pig's head is very, very hard. And when I was finished, I didn't know what to do with it. It was in my fridge for a long time. I thought, yeah, what can I do with it? And I don't want to just go and chuck it in the landfill. So I drove to the river, which you just drove over,
yeah.
The Berg River. And I popped it in there. Felt like dumping
a body.
A body.
It felt like you were doing something. The Inga Lutz thing was the first time you actually immersed yourself in this and saw that you had an eye for it and a capacity, because you know you need a lot of. I think you need to be quite dogged about following this up.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say it very humbly, and I always tell people. Some people can hit a golf ball better than me. Some people can play music. I can't play music. I can't. I know nothing about music. I will never ever be able to do it. Some people just have that ability and knack. It's a long time ago I realized I've got a knack for detail.
I think I, more than most people that I know, I might be a bit more attentive to mundane things around me. If I walk in the street, where I may see things that other people don't bother about. You know, again, for me, I see, if I look...
You've always been like this.
Yeah, maybe to a certain degree, but I, obviously now it's more concerted effort. I have to come and sit here and say to myself, look, I'm going to look through the photos, even if I don't know what I'm looking for. Or, you know, you have to commit the time and the effort to do it. So through the years, I did a lot of sort of research. You know, you look into the one specific area or aspect, and then you find something else. And so, I mean, it's a bit of self-education, but in the end, it is really about basic common sense and the value of a ruler. That is, if I always say, if I can't measure it, I'm not really interested, because a ruler doesn't lie. That is why I would like at the end of the day to say, listen, it's not my opinion, it is the opinion of the ruler. If that thing fits, it is not my opinion, it's a geometrical fact. So if you want to argue, change the laws of the universe, or, you know, that is not my opinion. But I will show you some stuff of the Oscar case as well, is that it is really not about opinion. It's about what you can see and what you can show and what you can measure.
Oscar, yeah, you're probably not surprised.
Yeah. What did you recreate there?
I'll show you the pictures okay. A bit later, but I'm okay. Going to show you my panels and the toilet. There's the magazine rack.
Okay.
Here's my, here are my bats.
You've got all these different sized bats?
Yeah, I've got them at different
sizes. I mean, the size
of this one is absolutely those photos which you live for. Look at those dots there. There it is. Right under the police's nose. He stumps. He's stompies.
His leg stumps.
Yeah. Because he shot and then he realizes Riva inside. His version is then he went back and put his legs on. And then went back with the cricket bat. So he was on his legs when he hit the door. So there's no reason for stumps anyway. It doesn't mean he's guilty of murder and all of that. But
he was the Eli.
But he lied. That, and I will show you these type of marks down to the stairs. And that's not his version.
So you, why would you say you had your legs on if you didn't?
For me, it's actually just to ask the question, why didn't the police do it? You know, you can't really believe they missed it. And I've got better photos of that. But yeah, you've got stump marks in the passage as well, on the carpet. And those that I showed you previously there as well. And that is what I want to challenge the police now with. I'm not saying conclusive, but I'm asking a question. As far as I'm concerned, based on an analysis, lining them up and all of that, looking at the sizes and all of that, I'm convinced those are stump marks. But if you as the police think that you've done what you could and you disagree with me, just bring these stumps. Because that stump is an individual trait, basically, like a fingerprint. Various other instances also.
So you've got to look at every single little drop of evidence.
All of them.
You sit here at night and you go through those.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff you get at 11 o'clock.
And then how long do you sit here? Until 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning?
That's why I said I work late in the evenings and I'm not that.
Where do you get these pictures?
I had a lot of difficulty getting them. I had most of it, but I got some. I got on the internet.
It must have been like treasure for you when you got these, though, when you got them from
Yeah. It was like Christmas. That bottom of the stairs.
But
and it lines up again.
A complete nobody knows nothing, and that to me looks like a little stump impression. Yeah. And you're telling me the cops missed that? Yeah.
And it's not only that it looks like a stump impression. Look at the...
It is one.
The swipe marks out of it. That's not a drop. That's not his version. Okay, this is not real blood, but for the Oscar thing, that is the amount of blood pumped out the beach. She would have been dead within at most 2 minutes.
So how much is that per?
70 milliliters.
70 milliliters.
Yeah.
And you know that.
So I took it on. If she bled, remember she had basically three punctures.
Yes.
In her hip, arm.
Yeah.
A massive one in her head. So if she bled out 70 milliliters per beat, that's just under a second, and you take that volume, and you take the time, then I think it would be something like 29 seconds. Okay, but assuming she did not bleed out 70 milliliters, but say only 10 milliliters, that one, that's small, this one.
Okay, so you've tested
If she bled out only this per second, maximum 2 minutes, then she just doesn't have enough blood to live. Then she's over 2 liters, a third of your sort of full size volume. So there's just no, medically not possible that she lived while he carried the dynasty.
Do you ever sort of become emotionally attached to the victims in a way? Because I know what you're looking here is to show how to prove that something occurred using rational analysis of the evidence. But then, you know, as we walked in, you showed me these cards that Inga's mom had written to her. And Reva also, you know, these are, and you said that you've got a daughter. How old's your daughter now?
8.
She's little. Okay, so, I mean, in a way, you know, these guys killed these girls, you know. The one was acquitted, the other one...
Yeah, look, I try to keep that distance. Let me show you this quickly. This is, for example, one... There's a longer story about behind all of this. Why I don't believe it was the back wound was caused either by the magazine drag or by the bullet. And then I would eventually come to this.
So what you see here is that's a picture of
the back
of the
wound. They, for example, just ignore the second wound. But you know what happened there? She bent forward and then the barrels...
The knuckles of the back. Yes.
If you bend forward, you know...
Your spine.
Spine knots. Yes. And it chipped the one and then the other. And again, you don't have to see this in pure isolation. You have to see that together with a further explanation as well, although it can stand on its own as well. This one is actually much better. See how it fits out.
So the corner, the rounded corner of... And is that the bat that Oscar used?
Yeah, that's the actual bat.
That's Oscar's bat.
And that's more or less on scale. It's difficult to get exact scale. Because one thing the police did in all of these photos, not one's got scale. So now I have to sort of... The thing is, I've got my own bat, and I put it on real scale, and it's the same thing. So it fits that mark perfectly.
But the thing is, that toilet is very small.
Okay, so you could recreate that. So
look,
it's
right under
the toilet.
Yeah, only here, in that corner, up the toilet there.
You shifted
my panels
away.
Up. Yeah.
Yes.
So the toilet would come from about here, like this, very small. The police was absolutely dismal. They didn't work out where he stood, so they were totally confused about the trajectories and where she was when she was shot and where she was found. I don't believe she was found in the magazine rack for a lot of reasons. But in any case, so I could exactly determine where her head was when she was shot. That would have been between the door and the toilet.
These doors just on this side?
Yes.
And the door here. So that's the size.
So these are the two big cases that have drawn you to them, because not only were they high profile, but the killers either got off or they got less time or they lied.
Yeah.
And it's been consuming you. I mean, what else do you do? I mean, this is really what you focus on.
So I would say 90%. Otherwise, I've got a fairly normal life. I see my daughter about every weekend or second weekend. I go away weekends. So it's not like I'm
just
sitting.
What do you do to get out of your head that way?
I like just travel. Not always for the cases, but I like to just get in my car, drive somewhere. Obviously, occasionally visiting friends and all of that. But it's not like I'm sitting here and not having a life. Or I will, when my daughter is here, I don't work. We just have fun the whole time. So it's not like I'm neglecting my family or it's some sort of abnormal situation.
Is it satisfying when you get to that point?
Yeah,
When you with Inga and now with the Oscar thing that you're doing, the satisfaction think I know what happened here.
Yeah, and it's funny how that puzzle always seems to fall. You know, you get the missing pieces. You know, you it's like a picture building the whole time. Every single day with the Oscar case, I'm getting a more clearer picture of what happened there. Same in the Inga case. You know, it started a blank page. Slowly but surely, sort of falls into place.
Built a door as well. Not a complete door, but that panel where the holes were.
Yeah.
And then, based on one of the holes in the wall at the back, I could recreate a reference line, a reference trajectory. And then from there, I could work out his elbow height, his shoulder height, his shot. So I could determine where he stood. And then I could work out all the lines of the bullets.
I always think the day will come where I will be able to put my version or facts on the table. And then hopefully it will have some sort of value to teach those people, whatever. Because it's not trying to be clever. And a lot of people will say, listen, you sit in hindsight, and they think we're sitting in a nice big laboratory and all of that. That is not the case. The thing is, there's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of time going into this. So police has got an unlimited budget. They've got the best laboratories that you can get. There's absolutely no reason for them to miss that. And that really makes me furious. You know, so now you sit with two books and you sit with interviews and presentations and all of that, but you can only take it that far. And that is frustrating. I must say that is frustrating. But we've made peace with that as long as we can put the truth out there. And I'm not saying that nobody can dispute whatever we do, but then they must actually come back with a counter argument. They can't just say the whole time, "Are you amateurs and this and that?"
They've been saying.
Yeah, they must come back. And that's the only criticism that we've got in two and a half years. Never ever did somebody come back and say, "Listen, you're wrong here, and you're wrong there, and this is why, and this is why." Only you're amateurs and idiots and this, you know, there's no substance in any of the there's no scientific counter argument, and that in a way is a compliment. We see it as a compliment.
Intelligente communicatie stylvol. Dis haar ma wat sy aan aan Inge geskryf het.
Nee, nog voor dit is sy gelewe.
Ja, ek weet.
When she lived.
Ja. Ja. You can see hoe na aan mekaar hulle is.
Very, very close. I mean, they called each other 3 times a day.
I know. Kind of thing. Seldsam, daarom treat jy mense, jy moet nooit verander nie. But you know what I pick up from this as well is what I think took you to her is that there's something quite exceptional about Inga.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's funny, because my daughter, it's not recent pictures, but she represents my daughter to some state,
okay.
On some level. Same kind of onskuldigheid.
Innocence.
You don't have some sort of religious thing around the truth or
no,
the meaning of these things. I'm not really religious.
Yeah. I've got my own sort of spirituality comes to this. But however, I do have a strong sort of feeling about light and darkness, you know, in this sense. If I look at the Lot's case, there's a tangible darkness. And I see the truth as the light. You can feel it when you work on the Lot's case. You can feel there's an evil hanging over that and a darkness. I've got a strong feeling or whatever towards the truth with the capital letter. I just can't stand it, the lies. I mean, even in the Oscar case, the lies, people who's supposed to uphold the law and the truth can stand there and lie. People that took a medical oath that they can stand there and just lie. It infuriates me. And that is really what I don't have a name yet, and I'm not saying I will ever have a name, but at some stage I would like to tell every single expert witness in this country, I'm watching you. We will expose you when you lie. Any expert witness going into a court. Experts go into the court and they just tell the court what the client wants. That is like going to a supermarket and buying a pint of milk, you know. That is how you buy opinion these days. Just go to somebody and say, this is the opinion I want, help me out. Somebody like Wally Wolmerans, Fred went to him and Oscar went to him. He will just give them the opinion they want. That is actually, if you really want to ask me about my mission forward, I don't ever want to see them in a court again. Because they lie and deceive. They deceive the court. I don't want that people in a court again, because it's because of them that murderers walk free. I'm 43 now, up to 40. I did a lot of things, tried out a lot of things. I think it all led up to where I'm now. And what I like is that it's a combination of a lot of things that I like, interests and qualifications and all of that. So it's a sad that it happened, but in a way it gives a lot of purpose and sense and direction in my life, because I feel like this is what I was born to do. Yes, it is very, it's a lot of strain and time-wise and financially and all of that, because I'm living fairly a basic life. I'm not a money person. But it takes a lot of determination, obviously, and belief in yourself, because you're putting yourself out there. We don't see an end line, a line that we need to cross, where we achieve something specifically, you know, conviction, or we just really want to put the truth out there. Whatever happens after that, I think we would see as a bonus.
I just thought now, Thomas, what is this? Is this a...
This is a thing for vacuum cleaner. But I did use it initially before I had a bat, because it's about the length of a bat.
I thought you would have used it for something else. That's why I'm falling over to you.
Yeah, it's probably the best one.
I read something recently that lawyers, defense and prosecution teams are like magicians, each creating a narrative to try and swing or convince the judge. They gather around them teams of experts and witnesses to confirm their version of events. Thomas and Calvin Millett are like those people who try and expose the magician's tricks to the audience, the ones who point out the smoke and the mirrors. In the end, though, it's the evidence that has to point to the truth as we can piece it together. But what to make of the Millett brothers? Are they outliers, men obsessed, crusaders for justice? Whatever. Their relentless research makes for a compelling argument. And the point is, whoever bludgeoned Inga Lotz to death in her home is still out there, a free man.
There are times when you really question, not yourself, but when you question, listen, is it worth it? There are days like that, without a doubt. We get to a point where it's not about not believing in yourself or not believing in your work, but you just feel, why am I doing this? You know, it's not really going anywhere in the sense of things happening on the legal sense and all of that, but it's what I want to do. If I felt I was wasting my time, I would stop. What better is there to do? I actually told somebody one day that, and I think it was in one of my first emails to Calvin, I said, solving a murder is better than going to space. You know? What better thing can you do than that?
Thank you for listening. First Person is a Cahiso Media podcast. For other episodes and for more information, go to firstpersonpod.com.